I'm doing fine, Jerry.
Good. Welcome to the show. But let's talk right off the bat about this. I love the name Summit, and I looked at some of your guests. It is truly a UFO and paranormal summit.
That's right. You know, that's exactly what I was trying to shoot for. I wanted to have an event, a conference that was a little bit more serious in nature than your typical UFO conference. I wanted to bring together some of the top minds in the areas of ufology, the paranormal, and even crypto hunting. There are people within the crypto hunting community who have a close relation to both the paranormal and the UFO fields, and I think that it was wise to, you know, put together a panel of people that could share ideas, share knowledge, and cross-correlate information to see if there was anything pertinent to what is happening right now in the current state of ufology, of the paranormal, and the cryptid world.
Well, tell everyone where this is going to be held, and let's go over that website in a moment. We have links to it and a lot of banners at jerrypippin.com already and our other websites, but let's tell our listening audience here on Inception Radio a little bit about it. Where is it going to be held?
It's going to be at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Sacramento, California.
Well, that's uptown, man.
Yeah, it's a very nice hotel. It's very
nice. Yes, it is.
Yeah, if you go to the website, zacufocon.com, and you click on the link that says the venue, you can see the photographs of the place, and it's a very, very nice establishment. And I'm really going all out for this event. I wanted to put together an event that was going to be at an establishment that represented the quality of the people that I'm bringing. And I believe that everybody that I'm bringing to this show is at the top of their field, at the top of their game. These are the people that know what they're talking about. These are the people that are going to be able to best represent their field and participate in this panel that we're having moderated by Mel Fabregas and share their ideas.
Yeah, you know, Mel's a good guy, and that panel, I want to talk to you a little bit about it, but I think I'm going to run this by you on the air. You can tell me what you think of it. I was thinking maybe the Monday before that conference, we could get several people and have our own radio panel. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with that idea, and I would love to work with you on getting some of these speakers together for that type of a online panel.
Yeah, that'd be a fun thing, and maybe if you're not sold out, you may be by then, but people can still probably get in there if you probably make room for them, right?
Oh yeah, without advertising, we somehow through word of mouth began selling tickets miraculously. People just started finding out about it through Facebook, through word of mouth, and they just started buying tickets, and I was like, okay, this is fantastic. It means that there's a definite audience for this. I wasn't too sure at the beginning because it's a UFO paranormal summit. You know, usually it's one or the other, and what we're doing is we're bridging both. And one of the analogies that I like to give people is like there's a world out there that we need to try and understand, try and research a little bit closer and put these barriers aside for once. You know, let's not throw the paranormal world to one side of the room and the UFO world to the other side of the room. Let's try and bring everybody together, because the analogy that I like to point out is the Fresno Nightcrawler. If you've ever heard of the Fresno Nightcrawler, this is one of those events, you know, these things that has yet to be debunked, and it can't be debunked, but they don't know. Is it an alien? Is it a ghost? They just don't know. It doesn't fall into one category. It falls into both categories. It crosses over between the UFO and paranormal. So, again, that's one of the reasons why I felt it was important to bring everybody together. And as you can see by the group of speakers that we have for this year's event, It's an amazing group. It is an amazing group. As a matter of fact, I even have people from the Jicarilla Apache Nation coming to the show this year who are going to be participating. So the Jicarilla are going to be there, and I'm very proud of that fact.
Well, that's interesting. You've had a good connection with them anyway. We've done some Dulce shows about them before we get off tonight. I'm sure we'll talk about that as well. But you're going to get some of them to leave northern New Mexico and get to Northern California, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, they can get tickets on the website, I take it.
Yes.
Or they can go to, they find some banners on our website, so they can click on there and it goes over there, too. So we'll be talking about that from now on, but let's talk a little bit about who you have lined up. You want to do that?
Absolutely.
People are probably pretty curious.
So I have this year, well, we already mentioned Mel Fabregas. He's the master of ceremonies for this year's event. We also have Scotty Roberts. Scotty Roberts talks about the Nephilim, the fallen angels, the watchers. He brings his theological background to the forefront at these types of events, and he has a book that's called the Fall of the Nephilim, I believe it's called.
Yeah, I think I talked to Scotty one time, and he's an interesting fellow, and he's got and you're interested in that subject too.
Yeah, absolutely. I do a lot of work on human origins, origin theory, and I take a look at ancient religious texts. You know, recently I discovered the work of Jay Widener, who's also speaking at the event. And Jay Widener has done a lot of research on the Nag Hammadi codices, which is this set of books. These are the first letter-bound books known to have existed in history. They have papyrus paper. They were found in 1947 in Egypt. And these books detail the Gnostics. The Gnostics were this group that existed way back in the early days of Christianity. They were a sect of Christianity, and they had some strange beliefs. Well, not so much strange as much as they were different than the beliefs.
Yeah, I started to say probably unusual.
Yeah, unusual. Because, and I preface that by saying we had groups like the Council of Nicaea and all these other councils that were set up by the church to essentially enact, the Inquisition and all these other horrible, these horrible scenarios that played out across all of Europe, where in Northern Africa and throughout the Middle East, where they were forcing, specific doctrines down the throats of people, and they were forcing them to no longer believe in these non-canonical gospels, such as the Book of Thomas, or the Gospel of Thomas, the Book of Enoch, the Gospel of Judas, the Book of Giants, all these different, scriptures.
Now, I've heard of the Book of Thomas and Enoch, but the Book of Giants, you got to tell me about that. What's that about?
Well, these are gospels that were essentially written and excluded from the modern day biblical, the modern day Bible, which we like the King James version of the Bible. You will not see these are what are referred to as non-canonical. So they will not exist in the scriptures as we know them, because, like I said, the Council of Nicaea pretty much determined what the Bible was going to subsist of, and they chose specific gospels and they excluded others. Most people do not know this, but the Ethiopian Orthodox Church actually held on to the Book of Enoch as one of their primary, gospels within the Bible that they use. And it survived all these years. And people for the longest time thought, oh, well, that's like the only non-canonical gospel that's out there. But then they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, and then they found the Nag Hammadi Codices, and we're learning so much more. For instance, in the Nag Hammadi Codices, we discovered that there's a group called the Archons, and the Archons parallel to the Anunnaki. In my work that I did, I did a lot of work on a group called the Progenitors. One, because I was introduced to that whole concept by the colonel who I had interviewed for the whole Dulce story, and he enlightened me quite a bit. And I had already done a lot of work on the Anunnaki, but I knew nothing of the Archons. I just recently discovered the Archons through Jay Widener, And what I'm finding is that I'm through this parallel study, I'm seeing quality.
Before we get off the air, we're going to discuss some of your research, including the Dulcie thing with Colonel X about human origins.
So Scotty Roberts is going to be there. We're also having Carrie Cassidy of Project Camelot.
Yeah, I know Carrie very well. She does some great work.
Mm-hmm.
And you've revealed quite a few things on her shows.
You know, Carrie and I have formed this relationship that I'm really proud of. She really has turned out to be someone that I can trust and someone that I could depend on with respect to the information that I have. She's even brought forth individuals that have helped me in certain ways. So, there's a great relationship there, and I'm so glad that she's agreed to be a part of this summit.
As you know, I'm a big conspiracy buff, and I have a little envy for her. She really gets stories.
Yeah, she does. She gets some great ones, and a lot of the information that she's presenting right now has a lot to do with information that I'm working on. There's a lot of cross-correlating information, and that's the reason why she and I have formed this relationship.
Well, I'm glad that worked out, because I remember talking to you, and you were going to meet Carrie and visit with her, and you were hadn't met her yet. And I think at the time I told her, I said, she's fine. You'll be fine with her.
Yeah.
Okay, you have Carrie Cassidy. Who else? What's Carrie going to talk about?
Carrie is going to talk about her whistleblower community, and she's also going to talk about the current state of affairs. And we're really excited about that because her perspective is very interesting. So that's something that we're very excited about having. Well, Stanton Friedman is going to be on our show.
Well, we all know Stanton.
Yep, nuclear physicist and lecturer Stanton Friedman. He is somebody who I've always respected.
He's the top.
When you talk about Roswell, you can't really talk about the subject without, referring to some of the work that Stanton's done. No, a lot of people are not aware of the fact that he's the first civilian investigator for Roswell, for the whole Roswell incident. So we owe a lot of,
we've had Stanton on the air when he told about how he fell into that Roswell thing. He's down in Louisiana, of all places, and Jesse Marcel I lived there, and the television station manager during the interview told him, go talk to Jesse. And he did, and that opened up a whole new area for Stanton and for all of us.
Absolutely. I think that having him there is going to add such an interesting perspective because, Stanton's not in agreement with everybody that's at the summit, and vice versa. A lot of people are not in agreement with Stanton's, stance on the whole ufology picture, the picture of, how ufology is structured currently. A lot of the conspiratorial people believe that, a lot of the old school people like Stanton Friedman are part of the establishment, and that's just not true, but,
I want to congratulate you for having different views there. That's what we've always operated on our radio show, sometimes it gets a little tension filled because these people, every one of them, Anthony, believe what they're saying, I think. So there are a few storytellers in the group, but basically most of them believe with all their heart and soul what they believe in. So you can understand why there's this friction going on, but it's too bad. We love to have different views and different ideas on the air, and I know you do, and your research reflects that.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of the most interesting panels to have ever been assembled in the world of ufology with regards to a conference or summit. I mean, we have so many different people across different spectrums. It's just going to be an interesting event to witness, and I'm very proud to be a part of it. Norio Hayakawa is going to be there. He's making a rare appearance outside of New Mexico. Ever since he moved to New Mexico, very rarely, if ever, does he travel outside of New Mexico. He likes to stay, near Rio Rancho where he lives. It's a beautiful part of the country. But he's agreed to be a part of the show, and we're excited to have Norio Hayakawa, who's going to offer his perspective on Area 51, Dulcie, underground bases. In addition to Norio, we're also having Ike Bishop, who's another Area 51 guy. So we have two Area 51 experts and legends at the show. Excited to have both of them there.
In your book, UFO Highway, did you write a lot about Area 51? I know most of the time we've been doing the publicity about Dulce and the investigations there, but in your book, did you get into Area 51 a lot?
An interesting fact about my book, UFO Highway, is that initially it was supposed to be about Area 51. It wasn't until when I met the colonel that it turned into a story about Dulce. This whole book, the whole basis of the book then became about Dulce. Yes, I have a whole section on human origins. It's pretty much ignored by a lot of people. Dulce seems to have taken on a life of its own. That's the reason why I sought out Norio Hayakawa. I was working with Jörg Arnu of the Dreamland website, the Area 51. I think it's called Dreamland.net. Anyhow, Jörg Arnu and I, we had a couple of conversations, and it turns out Norio was good friends with Jörg. So I looked up Norio when the whole...
Yeah, if I remember correctly, because I used to hang out with you guys when we were up at Janet Saylor's conference, and... You just looked him up and called him up, and you guys have had a friendship ever since.
Ever since. The minute I had that Dulce information handed to me and it was on my lap, I needed to seek somebody out who had insight to all of the Dulce stories that were circulating, somebody who could tell me who was telling the truth, who was lying, who was making up stories, you know, give me the facts. And Norio did that for me. He gave me the facts. He's very skeptical by nature to begin with. So, he's very skeptical in nature. So he was a perfect person to meet up with at the time. And I'm glad that happened.
Yeah, Norio's pretty realistic in his ideas and research and background. So it's always good to have somebody like that to keep you level-headed. And
he had that Dulce
conference, and that was an interesting thing.
Historic. And, it was historic, and I'll tell you why it was historic, because the colonel was at that show. The colonel in my book was at that show.
Wow.
In Dulce, yes.
Yeah, so now, when we talk about who else, we'll get in back to Dulce here before it's over, but... Let's talk more about your conference since we started.
So Jay Widener, we're having Jay Widener, who is an authority on hermetic and alchemy. You know, so he comes in with this whole different perspective. He's a conspiracy hunter. He is a movie maker. He's a filmmaker. He has this fantastic movie that's out there called Kubrick's Odyssey, which really delves deep into the whole conspiracy behind Stanley Kubrick, who made the movie Eyes Wide Shut, that exposed a lot of the inner workings of the Illuminati. 3 days after screening the film for the executives at the movie company, at the major movie outfit, he was dead. He was perfectly healthy, and people said he was under a lot of stress, something had been bothering him. Well, Jay Widener dives deep into that whole story, and really presents this wonderful movie, which we're going to be showing at the summit. There's going to be a special showing of Kubrick's Odyssey. So people will get to see that. That's a fantastic thing that we're really excited about.
We've all had experiences with outside the tampering of our health, biological attacks, I think. You went on in great detail about your last incident, last show we did. I suddenly got mysteriously ill.
Nice.
I don't know. You know, a lot of people laugh about those things and say, yeah, these guys are nuts, but something's going on.
Yeah, you know, I know a lot of people are succumbing to something, and it makes you wonder what's happening, you know, what's happening right now. I just pray for everybody that's afflicted by whatever happening to them.
I'm too damn old for them to kill, so I'll keep on trucking.
We have Paola Leopizi Harris. She's a photojournalist and investigative reporter who works in extraterrestrial-related phenomena research. She has a lot of books out there. She recently did a book on Clifford Stone. And she's just done quite a bit of work.
We just had Clifford on, and we're going to have Paula Harris on here in April. So,
Oh yeah, she's a wonderful person. I met her this year through Facebook, and we struck up a friendship, and I'm really proud of that friendship. She's a fantastic person. She's, you know, in the past she's done work with Alan Hynek, Dr. Hynek. She's also done work on. She interviewed Philip Corso, Colonel Philip Corso.
Yes, she did. Did some pioneer work on that.
Absolutely.
And as I mentioned earlier, Paula Harris has done a lot of shows with us and covered some things for us over the years, just like Carrie Cassidy did for a little while. And I always felt, and I think you do too, Anthony, by looking at your lineup here, I always felt if I was surrounded by good people, they'd think I was okay.
Yeah. I have to agree. I got to tell you, having Stanton Friedman and Paula Harris at the show, to me, those two represent the mainstream of ufology.
That's right.
Yeah, they represent the mainstream of ufology for me. So I'm
they're icons.
They are icons, and I am so excited to have them there. We have a couple of new people out this year as well, but like Jeffrey Gonzalez, he's not new in the state of California. Outside of California, he's probably not known that well, but within California, he's kind of a newsmaker. You know, he's always in the news. You know, he's finding triangles that have crashed into the side of hills, or he's found, you know, Bigfoot or whatever. I mean, the guy is just everywhere. He's really involved in the community, and this is why I'm excited to have Jeff, because not only is he involved in the paranormal community, he has a group called the Sanger Paranormal Society, he's also involved in the UFO community. He has, through his group, Sanger Paranormal Society, at the time, about a year and a half ago, he was the state section director for MUFON Central California, right there in Fresno, which is a huge area. There was a family that had called in and reported that they had seen something hovering and then crash into a side of a hill in Clovis, California. Clovis is this rural area outside of Fresno, which is this metropolitan area. Sure enough, Jeff shows up to their home, and from their house they can see that military trucks are driving up on the side of this hill. This is in the dead of night. Arc welding is occurring, and something is trying to lift up off the ground. The next morning, everything is gone. There's nothing there. They did videotape. Jeff has videotape of this incident, and we think it was a Boeing Softacrat, some top secret, you know, aircraft that crashed into the side of the hill that uses, advanced anti-gravity technology. This is a crazy incident that occurred, and Jeff was right smack dab in the middle of all of it. He happened to be a member of MUFON at that time, so there were chemtrails, there were unannounced military exercises. Everything was happening at that time to distract from what really occurred that evening in Clovis, California. And this is something that really hasn't been investigated beyond Jeff and myself. I helped him put together a report, and we found some amazing stuff. So Jeff's going to be at the show. And I just found out that Jeff's bringing an 8-foot-wide UFO prop to the show.
Wow.
He's bringing a UFO to the show. I don't know what that's about, but we're excited about it, and everyone's going to get a kick out of that. Jeff's kind of crazy that way, so he's bringing a UFO prop to the show because he does a podcast as well, so he's going to have the podcast, and I guess everyone is going to be either under or in the UFO. I have no idea. We're excited.
Well, it sounds like you got a great lineup there. Have we left somebody out?
I'm saving my paranormal guys for last, so I'm going to go to Ed Grimsley. Ed Grimsley and Bob Oliver are a team that work here in Northern California, in Calistoga, California. They have invested thousands of dollars into Gen 3 night vision binoculars and goggles. And I have to tell you, I actually went out to Calistoga, California, and saw UFOs through these Gen 3 night vision binoculars.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I talked to Ed one time in Nevada and at one of the conventions, and I should have gone out there and looked because everybody said they saw them. You saw them, huh? You saw the UFOs? He thinks there's a war going on.
don't know if there's a war going on, but what we saw was not conventional aircraft. No way. There's no way that what we saw was conventional aircraft by any.
So you think it was paranormal?
We
or UFO extraterrestrial? What do you think it was? You saw it.
I believe I was seeing some type of a spaceship, some type of a UFO, something not human, something, it was just not terrestrial. It was not conventional. It was not conventional aircraft. There's just no way. Absolutely. Not the way that it maneuvered, the size. I mean, this thing had to have been, if our estimations were correct based on the equipment that we were using, this thing had to have been at least, 20,000, 30,000 feet up. So it was still within our atmosphere. But it was not moving like a conventional aircraft. And it was massive. Had to be the size of a football field. What the heck were we looking at that night? I don't know. I can't tell you. What moves at a 90, what can, maneuver in 90 degree angles at speeds approaching 1,000 miles an hour? I don't know.
You said so you get some paranormal guys too, huh?
Yeah, we got Lyle Blackburn this year. I'm really excited about Lyle Blackburn because he's done a lot of study on the Falk Monster. The Falk Monster is in reference to Falk, Arkansas. If you remember, back in the 70s, there was a movie called The Beast of Boggy Creek. Some people refer to it as The Legend of Boggy Creek.
So he spun down there, huh?
That's where he's from. Well, he's from Texas. He's from Texas.
Okay.
But he's probably the world's foremost expert on the Falk Monster, which is The Beast of Boggy Creek. So he has this fantastic book out there. It's called The Beast of Boggy Creek, The True Story of the Falk Monster. He's going to be giving a lecture on that, and he's going to be talking about Bigfoot. A lot of people speculate that The Beast of Boggy Creek is some type of hybrid Bigfoot, something else, and who knows. But the evidence is quite compelling. He's a great presenter, and we're excited to have him here because he's also a paranormal investigator and delves deep into the ghost hunting scene, and he's just a fantastic guy to have. And he's close personal friends with David Weatherly, who's another well-known paranormal investigator. David Weatherly has gone to Janet Saylor's AFMI event for the last 2 years, and he and I struck up a close friendship, and I'm very proud of that friendship. He recently authored a book called The Black-Eyed Children, which is scaring the hell out of everybody who gets their hands on it. His company is called Leprechaun Press. He's an up-and-coming guy as an author, but as a paranormal investigator, he's been well-known for over 35 years throughout the whole paranormal community. He's probably one of the top paranormal investigators in the world. He's actually lecturing next weekend in Santa Paula, California, at the Ghost Town TV event, which is the Sci-Fi Paranormal Files, the Fact or Fake Paranormal Files television show. Bill Murphy, the guy who's like the star of that show, invited David Weatherly to speak with all the guys from Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International. So David Weatherly he's up there. He's one of the top paranormal investigators on the planet right now. We're excited to have him there.
It just sounds like a terrific event. They can go to your website and get tickets already. Give that website again for people. And we have links to it, of course.
It's sacufocon.com. SAC is SAC. It's short for Sacramento. So sacufocon.com.